On this episode, we answer listener questions on location at Sapphire Falls at Universal Orlando Resort. Today is June 15th, 2021, and this is episode 365 of the Main Street Magic Podcast.
Most everyone's mad here.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Main Street Magic. I'm your host, Jeremy Stein, and I'm joined, as always, by my lovely wife, Rhonda.
Hey, guys.
Make sure you check us out on the web at mainstmagic.com, as well as follow on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at mainstmagic. If you've not done so already, head on out to Facebook and search for the Main Street Magic community and ask to join. And go ahead and hit that subscribe button so you can get brand new episodes every Tuesday and Friday. And then if you want even more content, including in-park, resort, at-home live streams, bonus episodes, discounts on Main Street Magic merchandise, and a whole lot more, visit WonderlandCrew.com to check out our Patreon group. If you want to bring the parks home and you want the happiest scents on earth, go to MSMFriends.com, check out Walter and Rosie Candle Company, and if you order from our link there, you're going to get 10% off your entire order. And as you get ready to plan your next Disney Universal vacation or pretty much anywhere beyond that will let you currently travel and vacation with them, head to msmears.com to learn more about our wonderful travel partner, Melissa Pilgrim. And there's a form there you can fill out for a free quote. So we are sitting outside of the pool.
Yes, we
at
are.
Lowe's Sapphire Falls
yes.
Resort at Universal
kinda cool.
Orlando Resort.
Yeah.
This is cool. So if you hear background music, that is children and adults alike playing in the pool. There's a little splash pad here right next to us.
There's also some speakers with some
there
music
on. There are some speakers, so you get some background music. It's probably going to be like Jimmy Buffett and Jack Johnson. We asked them if they could turn on Disney music, and they said we would have to leave.
We did not.
So we thought that was okay. But so what we thought we would do just for something fun while we're here on a little weekend getaway, a little weekend trip at Sapphire Falls, which we will do a full episode on in the future.
Yes.
We thought it'd be fun to do a little Q&A with our listeners. So we put out in our Facebook group at Main Street Magic Community, what questions people had for us as they related to Disney, Universal, maybe podcasting in general, and beyond. So now we're going to answer them.
Okay.
You ready to get into this?
Yep, I sure am.
All right, let's go. So first, Jason asks, in your entire podcasting career, who is the most memorable guest you've interviewed and why? Would you like to start, Rhonda?
Sure.
Your career is slightly shorter than mine.
Yeah, so this one was a little hard for me, I felt like, because Jeremy has interviewed a lot more and done more things with guests than I. But I'll never forget, he's talked about Lynn Testa for quite some time. And we actually met him at the opening of not only Grandestino Tower, but also the Kronos Club.
Mm-hmm.
And Jeremy is, you were so amazing, babe, because like, it does impress me how sometimes you're like, yep, I'm going up to this guy. And I'm like, hey, how are you? And he did. And then, you know, I guess a friendship was formed and we had him on our podcast and I was there and I was so nervous but excited,
yeah.
And it was amazing.
Yeah.
So that's my answer.
I think that's a wonderful answer. I'm just gonna cheat a little bit first and go back because I've been very fortunate to be part of several different podcasts over the last 10 years.
Are you gonna say Mark Cuban?
It would be really hard if I didn't bring up. Now I didn't interview him, but I was there. I was part of the team. And we got a chance to sit down with Mark Cuban in his little office slash, he calls it a bunker area, at the stadium there in Dallas, Texas, where the Mavericks play. And to sit down and spend about 2-3 hours or so with him was incredible.
Oh, yes.
Absolutely. So it would also be hard to not mention who I've gotten to be in the room with, as my brother's interviewed multiple times, is ESPN's Jay Billis, who is one of my favorite human beings on the planet. Jay's just incredible. We got to go to his house in Charlotte when we first started the Hardwood Hustle, and we sat on his back patio and interviewed him, as well as Paul Biancardi, who is works for ESPN and does a lot of the recruitment stuff. But I just had to put those out there just to name drop, right? Like I had to.
Okay.
But for as far as Disney goes, yeah, it'd be hard pressed not to bring up Lynn. because he is he's so genuine, he's so smart, he is so kind. You know, for somebody I think of his level and everything that he does, knowing that I can shoot him an email that he's going to respond to or say, hey, Lynn, would you like to come on the show? And he's like, yeah, definitely, is so, so cool. But yeah. Somebody that I think I was really surprised by was Carly Wiesel. You know, we had her on not too long ago, and I honestly didn't know a lot about her, but I just started following her on social media, and she has such a energy and life. Like, we had such a great time talking to her, and then she was so complimentary of us, which just made me feel really good, because here's a professional theme park reporter who is one of the biggest in the world who said nice things about us. And that was really, really cool.
She sure did. It was.
Especially because that was, I think, maybe the second interview you and I did together.
Yes.
And interviewing is really, really, really hard.
I agree.
It's really hard.
I agree.
And so we're trying to get the hang of it. And we'll just see how it goes. You know, we've had some really cool guests on in the past and most recently. And we're not stopping. We've got some really cool guests that will be coming on in the future as well. Jason also asked, which of the Bobs would you rather have as a guest on MSM? And it has to be a joke, because no, I'm not inviting Chapek anywhere.
But what's his face? Iger. The one you met?
Huh? No, no, not, that no, was no, no, Josh. Not Josh. Yeah, we're talking about Bob. Iger or Chapek.
So we'd say
Bob,
Iger.
Bob Iger in a heartbeat. I would. I think, you know, there's always that question. You can tell me your answer. People always ask, like, you know, who, if you could sit down for dinner with any one person, let's just say living, who would it be? I kind of think Josh would be my go-to.
Right.
If they said, you know, living or dead, my dead would be Walt Disney.
Right.
What about you? If you had living or dead and or. This is my own listener question for you. Because I listen to the show as well. And so I would like to know this answer.
Well, I feel like we've talked about this before, because I would pick somebody of Walt's descent that's still living. And, like, ask if they're happy with the way Disney's going, and if this is something that we think their great-great-grandfather would be proud of, or however. But that's...
You know who else would be good? Robert Downey Jr.
Yeah, that'd be amazing.
That would be really, really cool.
But he wasn't asking that.
No, no, he was not. All right, we're going to move on to Kelsey, and she asks, I like this question, and I'm interested in your answer, because mine, we'll see what mine is. If you could go back in time and experience one attraction on its opening day, which one would it be and why?
I already thought about this. Haunted Mansion.
No, that's what I was thinking.
Really?
Yeah. And again, it's kind of like a little cheat, because you would also be witnessing the opening and the first day of Magic Kingdom.
Yeah.
Because it was an opening day attraction.
Yeah.
But yeah, why? Why would you pick Haunted Mansion out of all the attractions?
Because, I mean, I would just love to see the whole thing and, like, I don't know, because just going in and at that time it opened,
I mean, 1971.
Right, what do you call it? What do we have now? All the... Oh,
social media and everything?
Right,
Yeah, you would know nothing about this attraction going in.
Right, but the technology would just be, I feel like we'd be blown away, just like we are now on, like, Rise of the Resistance or, you know, Minnie and Mickey's.
Yep.
Like, I think going in and seeing Haunted Mansion and the whole story of it, I mean, it would be amazing, for one, and for two, I think we would just be blown away.
Yeah.
Because back then, that technology was top of the line.
Yeah. No, I mean, I think all the same reasons, and you're right, you know, it was so groundbreaking at that time to see these things. There's so many Easter eggs that tell such a story. You don't know what's coming around every corner. I've been very good when new rides are opening about not watching stuff on social media, not getting spoilers, so that I'm surprised when I get there. But you still are going to know what to expect in many instances. You know, it's not like we walked into Rise of the Resistance and we're like, whoa, there's a giant room filled with stormtroopers. We all knew that was coming. We knew there were multiple ride vehicles. We had some
because
ideas.
Because of social media.
We knew there was a drop.
Right.
You know, we had these ideas, so nothing was just 100% a surprise, even though as a collective it was. We've been very, I was thinking this recently, and here we are, opening weekend of VelociCoaster, right? We went day two, but we also went in an AP preview, and we also were lucky enough to be here on the soft opening day, and we rode it.
Yeah.
We were very fortunate to be there for an AP preview for Pandora and do Flight of Passage and Navi River Journey.
Yep.
We were there on the soft opening day of Toy Story Land, and then we were there the next day on opening day of Toy Story Land. We were very lucky to be there for Galaxy's Edge, Millennium Falcon, day one. Same with Mickey and Minnie's Runaway Railway. Same with Rise of the Resistance. So we've been lucky to be there on some pretty cool opening days in the past couple years as far as Disney and theme parks go. But to see Haunted Mansion for the first time, basically anyone, I mean, I don't know, were they doing, you know, what did media, I'd love to go back and look, what did media previews look like in 1971?
I don't know, but we weren't even born yet.
No, we weren't. So we all, what age, if you said, all right, because anything can happen right now, right? We're already going back to 1971, October 1st, we're going to the opening of Magic Kingdom and Haunted Mansion. What age would you want to experience that at for the very first time if you were there for that opening day?
Oh gosh, I would almost say now, I feel like.
You want to be this age?
I mean, I feel like, because I don't feel like I would like it, or I wouldn't get as much out of it if I was like 10 or younger. So yeah, I mean, mid-20s, 30s.
Yeah, see,
maybe?
I'd go like 25, 30, because I think I used to see a lot better in the dark when I was that age. As I'm getting older, I don't see as well in the dark. I don't like driving in the dark.
Nor do you do multitask.
Multitask
at all
as well?
Anymore.
I only almost fell over once earlier while looking at my phone while walking.
Well,
I don't think there should be an unexpected ramp coming off a bridge like
that. No, you can't even usually talk to us.
Who said that?
Either.
Oh, hey, Rhonda. I was looking at the notes on my phone. All right, let's move on. Peyton asked, would you and Rhonda ever try the challenge of all the rides in Disney World in one day? When things are back to normal, of course, it'd be hard with today's park hopping restriction until 2. If I last remember, that ride challenge, and I don't know if this includes Mickey and Minnie's and Rise, was 49 rides and attractions in all four parks. And there are people that do it every year. Is that something you would be interested in doing one time? Just...
Yeah,
all
I could
day,
do
go,
it.
Go, go, four parks, every single attraction.
And I'll be sleeping on
how long would you nap? Well, we know you do that now. You do four attractions in a day, and you sleep on half of them. So what would you...
Yeah, I mean, I could do it. I feel like I'd need to make sure, even just because, to have a pass on that day.
Yeah. I would definitely love to try it. I would have to partner up with the people that know what they're doing. Like, I don't think I could at this moment necessarily plan and do it on my own or us on our own.
Right.
But if you got part of one of those groups, I think it would be amazing. I mean, four parks in one day is really cool to do if you put certain challenges behind it. So to think of doing every attraction
that's
a lot. Nuts. So I would totally be down for that. Sean asks, if you could Thanos snap one ride, show, restaurant out of existence and replace it with something of your choice, what would it be? First, I like that he has turned basically Thanos into a verb. Thanos snap into a verb. Like, I'm gonna start using that.
Okay.
Like, hey, kids, could one of you Thanos snap the garbage, please?
Yes.
You know, like, just make it disappear.
That'd be funny.
Do you know what you would pick for, like, if we started with just, say, a ride?
Yeah, the Speedway.
Tomorrowland Speedway?
Yeah.
What would you potentially put maybe like in its place?
I have no idea.
Okay.
Only because I don't know what like...
Would you do, I know it's been mentioned, like Sugar Rush from Ralph...
And still
Wreck-It
be
Ralph
those...
And all? No, it'd be updated, yeah. It would be brought into this century.
Yeah, then sure, absolutely.
I mean, I'm of course replacing It's a Small World.
Why? That's iconic, though.
With either Tangled or a Bayou Riverboat journey through Princess and the Frog.
They're already changing Splash.
I know, but we can't have too much Tiana and all. And Small World does not fit in Fantasyland. It's not part of the fantasy of the princes, princesses. Okay, that's for a whole other episode.
I'm just
all right,
kidding.
What if we went to a show? I know mine right away.
Oh, I don't know.
I'm dropping Beauty and the Beast at Hollywood Studios.
Oh, no.
And we're replacing it. We're replacing it with either a Hamilton show or I'll steal from Logan with a Greatest Showman. You tell me you wouldn't take a Greatest Showman live show?
Yes, I would love that.
Beauty and the Beast, old school.
Beauty and the Beast. My Beauty and the Beast is my favorite.
But you still get Beauty and the Beast.
Okay, then take out.
Like, What if it was Beauty? And the, what if it was Beauty and the Beast?
Just kidding.
Performing hits from The Greatest Showman.
It's weird.
You take out Fantasmic?
Yeah, people are gonna kill me.
I don't think our Fantasmic is that great. And if it ever comes back, I really hope it's got a complete overhaul.
Well, I would say, it's that great. What's it called then? Greatest Showman.
Put
a
Greatest Showman on water.
Yeah. Sure.
Okay. All right. I can do that. Restaurants. What's a restaurant you would get rid of? Mine's a quick service. Can you guess what it is? It's the most overrated quick service in all of the world.
Casey's?
No. Columbia Harbor House. Get rid of Columbia Harbor House
and
replace it with somebody who knows what a lobster roll is and knows what actual seafood is.
Okay.
Because theirs is a like imitation lobster, heavy mayo-driven piece of junk.
Are you guys doing okay for now?
Yes, we are. Thank you. Okay, thank you so much. And that's the joys of recording outside. But we could have ordered a sandwich if we wanted and then eaten it while we record. I would not. What's going on there? Okay, no, stop. Siri's now trying to listen to me. I'm just going to let this roll because she's trying to listen to me. Okay. We just had Food Network on in the room, and they're talking about Cousins, Maine Lobster. They own like food trucks and a bunch of restaurants.
Right.
Go ahead and bring those guys in.
Okay.
And do actual lobster rolls there that are made with lobster meat and not 7 gallons of mayo.
Okay.
And you'd be set.
I honestly can't think of a restaurant that I.
What? Okay. What if you immediately thought Casey's Corner? Was that not? I mean,
I just thought for you. We've never eaten there except the corn dogs, which they were good. I would like to eat a hot dog, not gonna lie, there, but.
Well, let's do it next time at Magic Kingdom. Let's just go there and get a big dog.
Okay, I'm just not a dog person where you put chili
hot dog
cheese.
Person. We have three dogs, so you're a dog person.
Okay, yeah.
But eating a hot dog,
yes,
not really your
correct.
Thing.
So, I mean, I don't know. But I wouldn't know what to put there either.
Can you think of like the worst dining experience we've had at Disney?
I think if Casey's maybe had like burgers and dogs, like it's an American thing.
Mm.
So if it had like burgers and dogs and like what do you do when you cook out? Like baked beans, like.
I like that idea. Like a true, we can't call it barbecue because it's not, because barbecuing isn't grilling. But make it a true Outback steakhouse. No rules, just right.
Oh my goodness.
No, make it like a true Americana backyard grilling type place.
Because I mean, it's all about Casey's baseball. And
I like that.
I mean, I know like baseball has hot dogs and stuff, but it's, I don't know. Have some apple pie too then.
Yeah.
If you're gonna do it, do it.
All right, I like your idea. That's okay. That's a good one. Okay.
Thanks.
Next we're gonna move on to Julie. She says, do you feel it's worth, I like this question a lot.
Oh, I do too.
Do you feel it's worth it to get annual passes to both Universal Orlando Resort and Walt Disney World? Which is your favorite and why? They're moving next month and trying to convince my husband we also need Universal Orlando Resort APs. Julie, you can play him this segment of the episode. What are your thoughts on this, Wanda?
My thoughts are, Julie, first I'd like to know what your kids' ages are, and if they're anywhere from 10 and older, I would say yes, 100%. Why? Because it's amazing. It's a fun family time to ride all these awesome rides that, you know, and it's close. It's not spread out like Disney, but so that's my Universal stuff, but you're asking which is, our favorite, Walt Disney World or Universal. And I am going to say Walt Disney World always.
Yeah.
It just has that. I don't know, that magic that Universal doesn't have, but still, I've always said this, comparing Universal and Walt Disney is like comparing an apple and an orange. It's two different things.
Yeah.
So,
Which one's the apple in this scenario and which one's the orange? Is Walt Disney World the apple
because
they're better?
Yeah, I would say so.
Well, here's the thing. Yes, I 100% think it's worth getting Universal APs, especially as a Florida resident.
Yes.
A couple reasons. They're very affordable.
Yes.
Right? You get a lot of really good perks. I will say Universal's APs, I do feel, in a sense, are treated better than Disney's as far as perks go.
Absolutely, I agree.
you know, you get really good resort perks. You get food, beverage, off everything. I mean, shoot, we mobile ordered earlier, and basically they take pass holder discounts at Universal on pretty much everything except alcohol.
Yep.
The Starbucks and the hotel resort takes it. The resorts have really good, especially if you get different tiers. If you're a water park, you know, person, I would look at the 3-park pass. And I truly believe that the Premier is well worth the extra money.
Absolutely.
For Express Pass after 4 alone.
Absolutely.
But it's also going to up your discounts on food and beverage and hotels. When it comes back, you get valet parking included, you know, your regular parking, all that included. That I really think that it is well worth it. Walt Disney World will always be our favorite. But as you said, before we became Universal annual pass holders, I was the guy just sitting back playing the comparison game, going, Universal can't compare to Disney, and it doesn't have to.
Correct.
They're very, very different.
Yep.
In fact, it makes me laugh when people go, Universal APs are so cheap compared to Disney.
Well,
you're right.
They
you also
have
half
parks.
Of the parks.
Right.
You know what I mean? Literally, half of the regular parks and half of the water parks and a fraction of the resorts.
Right.
So, but it is very, very affordable, especially when you put the money down and you do flex pay or just pay the full front out of pocket. A lot of times, you may want to keep an ideal or look at trends, because a lot of times they will do that 15 months for the price of 12, which is what we did.
Yes.
But I 100% recommend Premier. And if you do think you'd like to enjoy Volcano Bay, go ahead and add the 3-park option instead of just
Volcano
doing it.
Volcano Bay is so fun.
And here's the thing too, if you look at it, and I don't have it in front of me, let's just say that the 3-park Premier pass is in the 600 range or so. You're going to pay well over $100+ just to come for a weekend and do maybe 2 days.
Yep.
So if you decide to do that twice a year and then you're like, man, we kind of like it, just go ahead. I would say 100% go for it.
Yep.
So Julie, you are very welcome. And I'm glad that you and your husband are deciding to get Universal Orlando Resort APs. All right. This is another really good one, and I've got mine down. Sean asks, what would be your perfect meal if you could get food and drink from all over property? We're going to do a appetizer, an entree, so 2 drinks, and a dessert. You want me to start?
Yeah.
Okay. My appetizer is going to be the corn dip at Three Bridges.
Okay.
Obviously, we think Three Bridges is pretty neat.
Yep.
And congratulations on your 2-year anniversary, Three Bridges, which they just celebrated. I love the corn dip. It's a wonderful shareable item. I think it's surprising. It's just so good. And what I love as far as appetizers go, it's not crazy heavy.
Yeah.
So you're not like eating an appetizer and then you're like, oh, now I got to eat a meal.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? For my entree, I'm doing the steak at Topolino's.
Okay.
Best steak I've had on property. Best meat I've had on property. Possibly the best overall entree I've had on property. I'm going to move to dessert, and I'm actually going to probably say the creme brulee at Chef de France.
Yeah.
Only because I love that atmosphere,
yeah.
And I know how much you love creme brulee.
It's so good.
When they had it, the Mexican hot chocolate brownie at Three Bridges was pretty stellar.
Yeah, it was.
If we're going 2 drinks, I don't really drink beer or wine anymore. We've kind of switched up what we do, but it's going to be hard for me not to pick a snake bite.
Yeah.
I'm going to be hard-pressed. Other than that, I feel like I'm cheating a lot this episode. My other drink is the sangria flight at Three Bridges.
Yeah, okay.
That's my one drink. One of my 2 drinks is actually 4 drinks.
Oh.
This is how we cheat the system a little bit, Rhonda. What are you thinking for each of these? What kind of appetizer?
I would say my appetizer would be the ricotta from Topolino's.
Yes. I almost went entire Topolino's meal, I'm not kidding.
My entree would be the lobster Thermidor burger from Grand Flow Cafe.
Yes, that's a good one.
And my dessert, if somehow it came again somewhere.
Okay.
No, when we went to party for the census.
Mm.
And it was like a creme brulee, but it was a chocolate, and it was like upside down with, oh my goodness, it was the best thing I've ever had.
Drinks, I'm sorry.
I mean, just gonna stick with my normal.
You're just doing with your Tito's water and splash of crayon, right?
Yep.
Is with COVID restrictions and all, is Party for the Senses something that you miss more than anything the way that I do?
Yes.
Like, just think about us maybe
100%
throwing on a little half fancy outfit.
Yep.
And going to Party of the Senses again with some good friends and just eating around everything. You know, I miss that a lot. I hope that we can see that back sooner than later for sure.
Yep.
We're going to move on to Kristen's question. And I always love these. But what's your favorite ride in each park at Universal and Disney? And which amongst all those rides then is your absolute number one favorite? So these aren't personal, or these are our personal favorites, not like what's the best, you know what I mean? So let's start at Universal. Let's go to Islands of Adventure. What is your favorite ride at Islands of Adventure, and why is it VelociCoaster?
It's not.
It's not? Is it the Amazing Spider-Man?
No, I think it's Hagrid's.
Oh, is it? Hagrid's, you're picking Hagrid's, okay.
Yeah.
All right, I'd go VelociCoaster. Okay. Why are you picking Hagrid's?
I just love the Harry Potter land anyways, and I watched all the movies. And I don't know, I just love it. I love all the stuff that happens, the backwards, the accelerating, the drop, like all the stuff. Like VelociCoaster has the acceleration, and I mean, and they have some upside down amazing things, but I don't know, I just, Hagrid's, I feel like I could get off and ride again, get off almost, like, I think so.
I'm like, chasing the shiny new toy, you know, the cool new thing in VelociCoaster, but, and I'll talk about another ride like this when we get to a Disney park. I just think the twists, the turns, I think every part of this coaster is done to perfection. There's no part of this coaster or this ride, if you take story aside and pre-show and queue, just throw all that in the garbage if you want. Simply the track alone, I think, is designed to absolute perfection. And what it does that I don't feel in a sense another roller coaster for me personally is done. Now, we've only ridden it 3 times so far,
right?
But you feel or see something new every time.
Yeah,
it's hard to predict where the turns are coming from, even when you've already ridden it a couple times.
Yeah,
every other coaster, even when they're great, you're like, well, I know what's coming next. We're about to go left, and then we're gonna go right, and then it's gonna do this little spinny thing. This one, sometimes I'm like, oh, I forgot that happens. Oh, I didn't even remember that from last time. Universal Studios side, what are you thinking over there? I actually love Mummy Returns.
Yeah, that one's fine.
It's like a carnival in a really, really good way. I can't explain it.
Yeah, that's weird. Because it's not like that at all.
I can't wait to ride, and actually maybe this will be my answer in the future, or maybe it's your answer, is Gringotts without a mask on.
I just heard saying,
I've yet to ride it without a mask on, which means that I can't see any of it because my mask has been fogging. We just haven't been on since the indoor was lifted.
I was just going to say, probably Escape to Gringotts.
Yeah.
Again, I love that area.
It's so good.
And I love Gringotts, the ride. Like, the other one with the broom, like...
Forbidden Journey?
Yeah, that's fine, but...
I'm sorry, Islands.
I like Escape from Gringotts better.
I think Gringotts, without a mask, is probably one of the most complete rides.
Yeah.
From walking up... outside in the dragon, to inside the queue, to the videos as you go through, to the elevator, to the spiral stairs, to the actual ride using technologies of a spinning coaster, 3D, story pieces. I would totally be okay with saying it's one of the best at Universal. I do love VelociCoaster. Let's move over to Disney World. And let's start at the very first park, which was Magic Kingdom. And what is your favorite ride at Magic Kingdom?
Oh gosh, I don't know.
I mean, I feel like I have to say Haunted Mansion with all the different things we've been doing recently. Yeah,
I think so.
I would go Haunted Mansion there. What about at Epcot? That's a tough one right now, I feel like.
I like Frozen Ever After. I mean, the Frozen ride.
Yeah, Frozen Ever After. I would go I would potentially still go Soren.
Yeah.
That just, it does something for me. Let's go over to Hollywood Studios. What is your favorite ride there? Now, again, not necessarily the best, your favorite.
Rise.
I'd go Rise.
Yeah.
And then let's move on to Animal Kingdom. And what is your favorite there? Because I'm going Everest. For the same reasons I think I mentioned Velocicoaster with the twists and the turns.
I would probably say either Dinosaur or the Safari.
Okay. So out of all of these, we've now gone through six parks. What is your number one ride out of those six parks?
That's really hard.
I know. That is. And that's what is...
Escape to Green Guts.
It would be. Okay. Wow. I don't know. It's hard for me not to go Rise. And I know that seems like a cop-out, but man, when you think about that ride, I think of the same way of Gringotts. You know, Gringotts has so many pieces to it.
Right,
we talked
that's
on
what
that,
I mean.
We talked on this previous show, you know, about only, you know, not only line queues, but attraction pre-shows and everything that makes them up, and they both have it going. I mean, Gringotts has a lot going for it.
Yep.
So you go Gringotts, and I think I would go Rise.
Okay.
All right, John asks, and this is perfect because we just got back from here today, what are must-do attractions at Volcano Bay for adults, teens, and children, and how was our Tapu Tapu experience? Now, we are going to do a full kind of Volcano Bay episode.
Yes, absolutely.
So we'll go through this a bit, but I kind of went ahead and I actually did some extra notes on this because, honestly, I want to get the names right.
Right.
Because we're still very much newbies to Volcano Bay, for sure. I think from a family atmosphere, depending on the ages of your kids.
Yeah.
Krakatoa Aqua Coaster is amazing, right?
Yes, so fun.
The Reef, which is the pool that you and Lacey went to earlier, as the big drop comes down from Krakatoa Volcano, is a cool little section. And then the Hanu Ika Moana are the two family raft rides that are side by side.
Yes.
And so I think from a family, that's really, really good. And of course, that's going to encapsulate hopefully your kids, your teens, adults. For actual kids, they have the Punga Racers, which,
cute.
I think it's, if I remember, we didn't do it today, it's four slides at once. So you're literally racing the people next to you, right? It may be two, forgive me. Watori Beach in the wave pool area is amazing for kids.
Absolutely.
And then talk a little bit about Runamuka Reef that you went through with Lacey today.
Oh, that was amazing.
Which is their basically their kids' area.
That is their kids'
area. Because I did not go through.
So here's some of the sad part. Lacey is, I don't know how tall exactly she is, but apparently she was too tall to go down some of those slides. So, I mean, she could still be in there and everything, and we walked around, and there's like a little like cave area, and like water just rushing and dripping everywhere. And then I didn't get to live this in Wonderland Crew, but there's an even smaller little splash pad for like really littles.
Yeah, okay.
So I thought that was really
like
cool.
Like in diapers?
Yes.
Type running around, like swim diaper running around.
Yeah.
Okay, awesome.
And even crawling, because it was just a little splash pad that was cute.
Would you say this is, in a sense, toddler to maybe 10-year-old is maybe the perfect...
Yep.
Okay, toddler to 10.
Yep. And
that's awesome.
It was funny because I ended up kind of losing sight of Lacey, and I went up to a team member and I was like, so I'm not saying I lost my child, but
what if I did?
What if I did? Is
You're
there
like, listen,
one way in or
asking for a friend? Okay.
Yeah. One way out, and he said, yes, that's the only way in and out. And I was like,
that's awesome.
Perfect. So, and then she popped up behind me 2 minutes later, maybe.
If we still had much younger children, let's just say we had, 4 and 6 year olds, and we were interested in Universal in general, would you tell us to hold off on the two theme parks, but maybe do Volcano Bay?
Yes.
To get a taste of like the Universal atmosphere, maybe stay on property here, Cabana Bay or here at Sapphire Falls, Aventura,
nice
walking distance.
Yep.
I agree with you 100%.
Yep.
Let's talk teens, and I think some good ones. You know, not only the family, Watori Beach, of course, is great for everybody.
Oh, right.
But I think the Oh Yeah and Oh No drop slides, which did for the first time today, were a lot of fun. I think that's a really good teen one.
That was.
Now, what's a drop slide, Rhonda?
Well, you go down this tube of water, and then it drops you into this
10-foot deep pool of water.
Yeah.
And you gotta be a, you do have to be a strong swimmer.
For sure.
Which, that's a little, I mean, it was a little intimidating to me.
Yeah. And we're talking about dropping you into it. Literally, as you come out the base or the mouth of the slide, one of these is a 4-foot drop into the water. The other is a 6-foot drop until you hit the surface of the water, which is then 10-foot deep. When you and I did it for the first time this morning, you're right. When I dropped in, I was dumb. I did a little pencil drop. Still had my arms over my chest. So water shot immediately into my brain, through my nose.
Yeah.
And it definitely, for a split second, can throw you off a little bit. Like, I immediately, for like 2 seconds, had a pounding headache while I'm still underwater coming up.
Yeah.
So, yeah, either come out like a cannonball or come out like a wrecking ball, like Miley Cyrus it, or come out and hold your nose closed so it doesn't shoot
into your
brain.
I don't think you can come out like that.
I mean, came out a little bit, like, the second time I came out, I tucked my knees up a little bit. I still held my nose, but I landed butt first as opposed to feet first.
Okay.
The other one, which again, it was a family favorite of ours because, you know, our kids are old enough, but I think for teens, especially in adults, is the Tiawa Fearless River, which I call, instead of the Lazy River, I call it the Crazy River.
Yes.
Which, by the way, Lazy River would also be very good for families and kids. What is a Fearless River, Rhonda?
Well, you have to wear a life jacket.
Yeah.
And you put this life jacket on, and then you go into this current just pushing you all the way around, and it's kind of crazy.
Mm-hmm.
It's fast. You can't, like, you can touch bottom, but you can't stand up.
Yeah. Yeah. It's, well, I tried standing up.
And Lacey, did you?
Yeah, well, I tried standing up to go back to save Lacey because no lifeguards were. She got pulled in the undertow at that one area and was freaking out because it actually will suck you back up into that wave as you come around, like a real rip current. Yeah. So I turn around and I start trying to fight it to go towards her.
Oh my goodness.
And then she comes up and she's yelling, she's screaming, "Daddy, daddy." So I grabbed her.
Oh my gosh.
And then we go by and the lifeguard's like, "Hey, don't do that. Just go to the middle so she doesn't get stuck." And I wanted to be like, "Well, you weren't doing anything."
Oh my goodness. Yeah.
So that
I
happened today.
All of
you did miss all that.
Oh my goodness.
You did mention, though, mention earlier about Runamuck Reef and Wonderland Crew. Rhonda, what's Wonderland Crew? Tell me more.
Well, Jeremy, it is this awesome...
I'm so glad you asked.
Yes, I am. It is this awesome website you can go check out, and it is a paid...
Subscription.
Thank you, subscription, where you will get us living, like we lent... went live around Volcano Bay and on some of the rides, and you know, we always, it's not a high price. I think it's like $7 a month, but we always try to give back more than you give us. So yeah, if you want, go check that out at wonderlandcrew.com.
Well, thank you for that information.
You're welcome.
I will check it out.
Okay.
All right, our next question, we got two more, is from Holly, and she says, what adult only or adult oriented nighttime experiences does Disney offer? And or do you recommend?
I don't know if Jeremy would agree with me, but I would say a dessert party.
No, that's on my list.
Really?
Yeah, I know that kids can go, but I think it's a wonderful adult
evening
experience when these come back.
Absolutely.
Party for the senses.
Yes.
When it comes back.
Yes.
Have you heard of, first of all, there's this place, where is it? Coronado Springs Resort. And there's this complex called Villa del Lago, which, by the way, has amazing shirts, and you can now buy wine glasses for it as well. So there's a restaurant on there. It's called Three Bridges Bar and Grill. And what they do on weekends is for adults, they also offer one for kids, but we're focusing on adults. It's called Sangria University, Rhonda.
Yes, it's a lot of fun, Jeremy.
Let's be honest. $45. We've done this experience three times.
Yeah, it is fun.
We take friends back again and again.
Yep.
It is extremely popular. Sangria University, I think, is one of the best adult-driven experiences, especially for a group of friends on property. And it's one of the best values at $45 a person.
Oh, 100%.
Right?
Absolutely. Yep.
I love your idea of the dessert parties.
Yep.
Party for the senses. Those would probably be some of ours. I'm thinking of stuff that... You know, everything at Disney really is family friendly.
Right.
But I'm thinking of when it comes back, Cali brunch.
Yes.
Is an amazing Sundays only adult experience.
Yep, absolutely.
I would even go forward and say things like going to a Topolino's dinner.
Yeah.
You know, without kids.
Yeah, we did
it
that.
It is incredible. You know, also maybe you do something that isn't necessarily a, you know, a Disney paid event, but things like the monorail crawl.
Right.
You know, a Skyliner crawl we did an episode a little way back on.
Right.
Things like that where just as adults you can go Disney Springs, you know, going around the world and having some different drinks at World Showcase.
Yep.
I think those are all experiences that are so well adult driven.
Absolutely.
And if you happen to have kids, they can also end up doing these things with you,
yep.
Right? All right, finally, Joseph asks, and I think this is such a good one to end on. I was going to move it up based on our other universal question, but decided not to. Can you guys speak to the differences, if any, between Disney World cast members and Universal team members in terms of experiences with them, customer service, etc.? What would you say? First of all, what were your, again, we've been pass holders now at Universal for just over a year. About a year and a week. And I know I had expectations and thoughts coming in that were looking back pretty foolish of me.
Right.
As we talked about the comparison game. Did you have expectations coming into becoming Universal Pass holders and what that experience would look like? Have they lived up to it? Have they done better? Just talk to me, Rhonda.
I don't know what I really expected, to be truthfully honest. I mean, I knew it wouldn't be like Disney. I don't think I knew that there were team members, of course, instead of cast members, or, you know, the way they named them differently. But, I would say that Universal team members, I feel like, aren't as sometimes nice and sweet, depending on who you get as the cast members, but vice versa. We could get amazing team member here and so sweet and so nice and so wants to talk. And then I could be over at Disney and he could just be waiting to retire and doing his job and not even like ask us how our day's going.
I know who you're talking about. So I had an expectation of coming in for team members and them just being like, hey, I'm here to do my job and that's it. And they have squashed that expectation
absolutely.
And reputation because I have been so pleasantly and amazingly surprised at how incredible and wonderful team members are.
Yeah.
What I would say is I think that, what I feel that at Universal, and again, this is just our experiences. I'm not saying this is, you know, factual or anything.
Right.
I feel that team members feel that they have a better opportunity to show possibly more of their true self.
Yeah.
Whereas Disney, it's sometimes hard to go, is there a little bit of a magic show going on? Because they're at Disney. Are they going, and again, and that's how good they are.
Right.
Are they going above and beyond maybe their regular personality? I feel like sometimes you get more real personality with team members. And you're right. We've had some team members that are just very, all right, I'm here to do my job, that's it.
Right.
And we've had that have blown us away.
But we've had cast members the same way.
Yeah. I mean, Angelo checked us in yesterday.
Yeah.
This Sapphire Falls.
Yes.
If I had been blindfolded through that experience, I would have been like, this is one of the top-notch cast members at Disney.
Yeah.
And here he is, a top-notch cast member, I would say, at Universal.
Yeah.
Tony, today.
Yeah.
A bartender at Volcano Bay.
Yep.
Unbelievable.
Dancing Dragon.
Yeah, Dancing Dragon. Unbelievable.
Yep.
So I do think that the experiences are very similar, but different.
I agree.
And I don't think they compare.
No.
You know, based on the two different parks and the way that they are. You know, I still think of Universal as more of a teen to adult driven park, and so I think a lot of your interactions with team members are a little bit more like, I watched Tony today and again he was so good at being himself with some different guests that I don't know the interaction would have potentially been the same at Disney,
right?
Because they would have tried to sprinkle some pixie dust and magic.
Yeah,
but I love both. I think either way the team members are so suited for
right.
Universal
right.
and the cast members are so perfectly suited for Disney.
I agree.
Great. But I've been loving it. So here, when the first time I went to New York, I expected to go to New York And based on what everybody says, just run into jerk after jerk of a local, right?
Oh, yeah.
And I remember going, and I was on the subway, and I'm looking around, I'm looking at maps. I can't tell you how many local New Yorkers came up to me and were so nice and sincere and helpful.
That's awesome. Yeah.
When there had been, I think, this idea that they weren't that way at all. And that's kind of how I feel about team members.
Right.
You know what I mean? So I think they do a wonderful job. We've had some great experiences. It's nice to come back and see a lot of them.
Yeah.
We've started to build some relationships with some different people and team members the way that we're lucky enough to do with cast members. And it's so, so cool.
Yep.
So this was fun. I actually want to hear people's thoughts on the sound and quality of this, because we would love to do more of these in the future. This is something that we could do in parks. The way we have a new setup, it's very, very mobile.
Yeah.
Which we have not had in the past with hopefully this type of sound quality. These are the same mics that we're using on our phone and Wonderland Crew.
Right.
We're both mic'd up individually.
Yep.
And now we're just running it straight to the laptop. So we can do poolside, we can do it in parks, we can do a lot of different things with this. Let us know if you enjoy this concept. If the sound quality is okay to you, you can hit us up on social media at MainSTMagic. You can comment in our Facebook community, Main Street Magic Community.
Yep.
Let us know what you think. But guys, thank you so much for joining along. I'm going to go cannonball into the pool now. There's the hula hoop contest going on?
I have no idea.
Kaylin rocked that hula hoop contest.
She did.
She was like second or third place three times in a row. And they just set her a little bit off with some of the things you have to do. But I was proud of her.
I was too.
But look forward to Sapphire Falls reviews. Look forward to a Volcano Bay review. A whole lot more coming up. So if you have not already subscribed, now is the time to do it. And we would absolutely love if you could please leave us a rating and review.
Because it helps our show grow.
That's all we've got. We'll see you real soon.
Most everyone's mad here.